You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, this is Dawn Brody, the host of the HILF podcast. And Katie and Nathan from Queens wanted me to tell you they use strong language. So if that's not your thing, this won't be the show for you. But if that is your thing, girl, come check me out. I'm a comedian with a history degree, and each episode of HILF features a new guest and a different history subject. From Frankenstein to Cleopatra, from Titanic to the Challenger disaster, I dig deep in the annals and stimulate. HILF, because history is a party, and everyone is coming.
Hi, this is Katie.
And this is Nathan.
And you're listening to Queens Podcast, the show about badass women in history.
It's that time again. It's that time again.
It's time for Queens Podcast.
So excited. It's a part two episode.
It's a sequel.
It's been, for me, this weekend has been great. I got to see My Fair Lady, so my gay little heart has been filled with musicals.
Pitter-patter.
So I'm sorry if I break out into song. Why am I sorry? You already know.
I encourage it.
Yeah, our listeners are like, when have you not broken
into
song?
Well, it's usually me, to be honest, though. But... Nathan, who are we here to talk about again today?
Part duh of Dowager Empress Cixi. Oh my god, I'm so excited.
Oh,
she has been the rabbit hole of rabbit holes of rabbit holes.
Before we get started though, Nathan, what do we have?
We have some Patreon shoutouts. So Aaron, Chelsea, and Megan. So Aaron, if I said your name wrong, I'm so sorry. Slide into our DMs and I will pronounce it right for you. Okay.
Because yeah, we'd never seen this spelling before. So we were like, Aaron, we think is the name. Aaron, if we got it wrong, let us know and we'll give you a second shout out. But Aaron, Chelsea, and Megan are our new Patreon supporters. Thank you so much. And of course, as always, thank you to all our Patreon supporters or all our anybody that listens without paying us a cent. Thank you anyway.
We love you. Still
all
love
of you. But speaking of Patreon supporters, Nathan, what have we been doing this season for our Queen Mother supporters?
So we've been letting our Queen Mother supporters choose the next subject, which Cixi was one
Listener
of them.
Kyle picked Cixi. Some... Yeah.
Yes. So prime example of we love y'all's suggestions because... Yeah. I could not stop reading about her, Kyle.
Oh, my
thanks.
Goodness. But so now we are going to draw a name of a Queen Mother supporter at random to pick the next topic. So, Nathan, would you ask Siri to pick a number between 1 and 23?
Hey, Siri, pick a number between 1 and 23. She said 20.
20. Okay. That is Patreon supporter Nancy G. So we have two Nancys here. Nancy G. So Nancy G, we will be sliding into your DMs to pick the next topic.
Come on, Nancy G. No pressure,
but do good. Do good. Nathan, where did we leave Cixi's story off?
Cixi was born into the lower ranks of the Chinese nobility in 1835. She went on to join the ranks of concubines for the emperor, and from there, she gave birth to the emperor's only son.
Right. And after the emperor's death, Cixi and her best friend, who was her co-dowager empress, Xian, they staged a coup. A coup, y'all. And now, Cixi, at only 26 years old, is more or less the ruler of China for her five-year-old son. So, fuck yeah.
Yeah. So you're all caught up. Cixi and Xian, their first law that they passed as regents for the five-year-old baby king, which I have
hashtag babies don't need jobs.
That's the feeling. So this five-year-old king, they had this law that stated that they would rule without interference, quote-unquote. But because of Chinese customs, they couldn't just be out and about and mix company because sexism.
Period. Because sexism.
Yeah. Women had to live completely separately from men. So they knew for their rule to be followed, they had to stick to some of those customs. So they had to literally work behind the curtain. Surprise.
Literally. Like every day, Cixi and Xian would sit in on these meetings with this group called the Grand Council, which is, if you're familiar with our podcast at all, you know what this is. It's a group of dudes sitting around deciding on the laws and stuff. And Cixi and Xian were there, but all the men got to sit at a table together, and Cixi and Xian literally had to sit behind a big yellow curtain. So the men couldn't see them and they couldn't even hear them because Cixi and Xian would have to whisper to somebody, and then somebody would come out behind the curtain and be like, the Dowager Empresses say this.
Okay, number one, this is Empress Wu vibes.
Empress Wu vibes, same thing, yeah.
Same sort of thing, but also like Wizard of Oz, don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain.
Also,
because it's not a man, it's a woman.
It's two layers, and they got bigger dicks than all y'all. But fun side note.
Fun truth, that was just a good statement there.
They got bigger dicks
and we're done.
Oh,
yeah. Thank you and good night.
That's
it for Cixi.
But no, so the curtain was yellow because that was Cixi's favorite color.
Cool.
So it was kind of like a little bit of, sure, fine, I'll be behind this curtain, but I'm going to make it the prettiest curtain I can fucking find. But no, she put yellow stuff all over court because it was her favorite color, which vibes with me so much because, hey, Nathan, what's my favorite color?
Yellow.
I know. So I was like, okay, girl, make the court yellow. Anyway.
Remember those seals that we talked about that were given to her by the late emperor that gave to Xian and Cixi? Mm-hmm. So they still had them. So no one could literally make any decisions without their consent because they had the seals, y'all. The seals signed the deals.
The seals signed the deals. So I hate this level of separation between the men and the women. I kind of also at the same time love Cixi and Xian being like this unseen, ominous presence. Do you know what I mean?
That's power like the Wizard of Oz.
Yes! They were the Wizards of Oz.
Now, yes, Cixi and Xian were co-regents, but Xian just wasn't that into it. Mm-mm. Cixi was all in. Xian mm-hmm. was happy to handle the things like the social events, arranging the emperor's education. So she was into that. Cixi wants to take a front seat.
Cixi was all about the power. So, okay, speaking of baby emperor, let's talk about him. So the little five-year-old emperor's name was Tongxi. He's about five. You know, luckily, he doesn't have the responsibilities of running the country yet, because what do babies not need?
Jobs.
Babies don't need jobs. Yeah, you're right. But that doesn't mean he lives a stress-free life either. Like, his education was turned up to 11. It was hardcore. Morning, noon, and night. From the moment he woke up until the moment he went to bed, it was school. And it wasn't really his thing.
No, like we've talked about people in the past that just love schoolwork.
Margaret of Austria.
Hey, I'm a nerd. If someone's like, here's a book, read it and give me a book report, I'm like, will do. But, you know, baby
Margaret of Austria, Anne Boleyn, people like that.
Love that.
Not everybody's that minded. And that's okay. No. It takes all different kinds of people to run the world, you know?
Yeah, Tongxi just wasn't into it. He wasn't a good student. He would get overwhelmed by everything. It makes me think that maybe something else was going on with
there's
Tongxi.
Thought that he might have been dyslexic or something,
which I mean, looking at Chinese language, that's hard enough to learn. Could you imagine with dyslexia?
Right. Right.
Like, whoa, that one little floop went to a flop.
Yeah.
So now it's a completely different word.
You can't diagnose somebody from 100 years later, but no. There are people that are like, maybe he had a learning disorder. Yeah.
We just know that he wasn't into school.
He wasn't into school. So if you remember from episode one, Tongji's dad, the former emperor, wasn't a very good emperor either because he wanted to party more than he wanted to govern. And a lot of those traits are starting to show up in Tongxi. And over time, Cixi and Tongxi started to butt heads because she was pissed off that he wasn't taking being an emperor more seriously. And he was pissed off that she wouldn't get off his fucking jock about it. You know what I mean? She was just so overbearing.
Yeah, but I feel like the overbearing, powerful mother with the do-nothing son has been a steady thorough line.
Catherine the Great, Agrippina the Younger.
Catherine de' Medici.
Yes.
They keep going.
You're not wrong.
These quote-unquote overbearing mothers. I don't like that statement because it's kind of... And it's misogyny, because why is she overbearing? Because she wants her son to be successful.
Well, like, maybe if I called it overbearing parent, would that be better? Because yeah, I mean, maybe. There's definitely been overbearing fathers in this show before.
Yeah, true, true.
But no, Cici would have killed for the type of education he got to get, basically.
Yeah, and so she would have, like, why are you so...
Why are you squandering this?
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Anyway. The early years of Cici's rule were not easy. We've talked about this time in Chinese history is chaotic as fuck. As we discussed in episode one, for instance, there was this rebellion going on that I think we're going to do a Patreon episode on called the Taping Rebellion, which is wildly fascinating. Nathan, though, we're not going to have time to go into it, but what's the TLDR of the Taping Rebellion?
Okay. So the Brits came over, and as the Brits usually do, they're like, hey, there's this really cool thing called Christianity. Oh. And they're like, maybe you've heard of Jesus. I don't know. And then one of those Chinese guys was like, yeah, I've heard of Jesus. He's my brother. And then you're like, what? So obviously the Brits are like, no. And he's like, yes.
Yeah.
And that's where the rebellion happened.
So we're not going to have time to go into it because it could be its own episode on its own. And it might be over on Patreon. You can get it for as low as $3 a month. But so this rebellion just grew and grew and grew. And it became an actual threat to the government. And that's when Cici was like first becoming into her own as a ruler. And so she had to squash it. But then she was like, okay, is the call coming from within the house? Because where there's smoke, there's fire. And if something like this could so easily almost overturn our government, shit's off. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, something's wrong. Something's wrong.
Like, she's like, something, my spidey sense is going off. And so she is just thinking, there must be somebody in the government that's really doing their job poorly. And she opens this investigation into everybody in power, which is something that the Chinese people have never really seen before. And I think that's kind of cool, though.
She did like an internal investigation, basically, of the government. And that doesn't happen a lot, especially in China at the time. Which, I mean, if there's a revolt going on, you're like, somebody dropped the ball.
Something is off. Yeah.
So Cici decided, based on the reports that she got, to make some changes that were pretty radical for the time. So first, she had some military people executed. Like, leaders. harsh, yes. But these dudes weren't exactly little angels with their halos on.
One of them is a guy that he was like a military leader that just left his post. Which, what do you expect? Ooh. What do you expect to happen?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't agree with it, but that's just kind of like historically what's happened. If you're a military leader that abandons your job.
Yeah. Not cool.
Not cool. Next, I think this is really cool, though. She set an office of foreign affairs, which China had been. You've heard the phrase closed door policy, right? China had been operating under a closed door policy for like 200 years, which meant they did not work with people outside of China. They did not trade. They did not learn from people in other places in the world. So they did not have an office of foreign affairs, which is like, how do you protect yourself from, or how do you? Like
how do you protect yourself from other people if you don't have...
And also, if another country comes up with something really cool, like vaccines and railroads, but you aren't learning from them, how do you... So she set up an office of foreign affairs. She basically looked at it like, by leaving ourselves ignorant, we're screwing ourselves over. Exactly like we're saying, you can't know if a threat's coming. Because, you know, they just got done with the Opium Wars.
Oh, yeah. No,
maybe if they didn't have a foreign... Maybe if they would have had a foreign affairs office, they would have seen that coming, you know?
So, yeah, they could have negotiated with the Brits on what to trade besides opium.
Yeah. Maybe we could find out something else. Yeah. And I think that's really cool. And I think that did a huge service to China.
Yeah. In the time, the foreign affairs office was like, Yeah, other countries, like you said, have railroads, and they have this thing. They have this thing called the Navy.
The Navy
in the Navy. Sorry, I warned you. I saw My Fair Lady last night in the Navy. So CG's like, okay, let's get a Navy. Navy. And let's learn what these railroads are. Railroads. Which a lot of people were like, whoa. This is way too modern, way too quick. We're westernizing. Haven't we learned enough from this? And so they get a little bit of, shell shock.
Huge pushback about becoming too westernized, which is so, in this whole thing, we're going to see westernized doesn't necessarily, like, it kind of feels like in this time in Imperial China, Western just means anything that's not Chinese. Do you know what I mean?
Like, well, they had the closed door policy.
Yeah.
They felt like any sort of influence was trying to change them.
Exactly.
Modernizing China would be a priority for the rest of Cixi's life, which
that's so cool.
Wasn't viewed as positive at the time, but in retrospect, we're like, thank you.
Yes, because I mean, the rest of the world had telegraphs, and they didn't have telegraph. You know, just like basic communication that the rest of the world had, and China is giant.
Yeah, no, huge.
So anyway, let's switch gears a little bit.
Clank. That was me switching gears.
Yeah. So let's introduce two new characters to Cixi's story. First is Prince Chun. Mm-hmm. Prince Chun is the brother of Prince Gong that we talked a lot about in the last episode. And he's also married to Cixi's sister, Wan Zhen. Prince Chun is a very, very high-ranking dude, and he's getting a little bit too big for his britches, I'm not going to lie.
That's an understatement, just a little bit.
He's riding on that high horse.
Mm-hmm. So now let's meet a very different character.
Okay.
This is a eunuch named An.
Yeah.
So you can Google what being a eunuch means. I don't want to go into
Don't Google it.
Yeah, you pretty much, it's not nice. You pretty much know.
But we don't want to talk about it because...
No, genitals.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's like Ken. Sorry. It's like Ken. He's just Ken. But in the Imperial Chinese court, a eunuch's role at court meant that, you know how when we talk about like in England or France, the queen has a lady in waiting? In Imperial China, it was kind of more that the queen had eunuchs, like instead of ladies in waiting. And they are the only men in the entire country that can just talk to the queen, hang out with the queen.
This, again, feels very misogynistic to me because it's like we can't have women around other women. We've got to have a man around her, but we can't have a real man because a real man might try to bone her. So let's cut off his dick.
Like, so that's what a eunuch just, is. Yeah, no,
it's just so bad.
But she gets very, very attached to An. And she actually even names him, like gives him a nickname, Little An, my little An. Oh. And it's kind of assumed that they were in love with each other.
I'm trying to raise one of my eyebrows right now. Because it does raise a few eyebrows.
Oh,
if you
but
were
no.
To hear.
They were and this is one that I'm like, I don't think, because there's lots of things that we'll talk about in Cixi's life from like, slander, but this one, I don't think it's slander. I think it's not unreasonable that she was in love, that she would fall in love again, you know?
No. And it's harmless because, I mean, if he's going to love her, he's a eunuch.
Can get pregnant.
There's no sex drive there.
There's no scandal.
He genuinely likes her.
Yeah.
So now the year is 1869, which means Cixi has been running shit for 8 years. Mm-hmm. Also means Hongxi is a teenager now. Ooh, a horny teenager at that.
So horny.
Yeah. So Cixi has picked a bride for him, and they are planning this elaborate wedding.
Yeah, and so she tells An, I want you to leave the palace, I want you to go out into the market, and I want you to bring back materials for the wedding dress that we're going to design. But however, at this time, it was actually illegal for the eunuchs to leave the palace. But Cixi is like, yeah, but I'm telling you to do it. She's like, I'm above the law. Which, I mean, she was the law, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, eunuchs could be arrested and executed for leaving the palace because they're outstepping their place in society, you know?
Yeah, and he was arrested for this.
Yeah.
And Zichi is like, no. I told him to go. He went on my orders. Guys, calm down.
Calm down.
Cool your tits.
Calm down. Cool your tits. Please cool each of your tits.
Just let him go. Let him go. And it seems like she thought that was that was going to happen.
She gave the order, and she thought that was that.
She's got the seals make the deals.
The seals make the deals. She gave the order, and she thought that was the end of the story. But meanwhile, this Prince Chun guy was like, I don't like how all of Zichi's friends think they're above the law. I don't like that this On guy. I don't like that she is one treating a eunuch like he's an advisor.
Fragile dick energy.
Fragile dick energy.
He doesn't even have a penis and you're mad at him. Like, what?
Well, that's the thing. He's like, I can't be close to the empress like he can be. And he was jealous. And he didn't like that this person from low birth, because Prince Chun is from, you know, the imperial family. He didn't like that this person from low birth was having these benefits that he didn't think that they should have. He was just like, nope, the law is that if a eunuch breaks the law, they get executed. So let's execute this guy.
So the story goes that while Zichi was at the opera thinking that An was being released from prison, Chung was secretly signing his execution papers. And An, along with a handful of other eunuchs, were executed.
Zichi found out, and she... I mean, we know that the emperor, her baby daddy, died, but I don't think she was ever in love with him. So this is the first time in her story that we know for sure someone that she had an emotional connection to died because of something she told them to do.
That is exactly what I was about to say. Is like, literally, she felt guilty because she was like, I thought this was going to be okay. I sent him out to be safe. I thought that my orders would be enough, but they weren't because of Prince Gong's brother... asshole
Prince Chun out like, here having like a,
yeah.
an axe to grind with me. She went into such a dark place. She didn't allow music to be played at the court for like 2 months. Like, she could not fucking cope.
Yeah, but she had no choice. She eventually had to move on.
Yeah.
China's in the middle of a movement called the self-strengthening movement, and she was kind of the driving force behind it. But I think she also knew that she was going to get back, and Prince Chung and his whole fucking family the moment she had a chance, and that's what we call a villain origin story.
Villain origin story. So I think that's a good place to take a quick break.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. What'll happen? Don't Google it.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
And we are back.
Yay!
Nathan, let's talk more about policy with this self-strengthening movement that was going on in China. But also that, I wish they named it something better, because self-strengthening movement doesn't really, like, roll off the tongue, you know?
No, it does not. We've kind of already touched on that. Zichi was like, hey, let's see what countries in the West are doing, and let's do a little bit more of that. So this included up setting up schools, factories, telegraph lines, giving people education, which, yay! more ways to make money, more ways to communicate. This is all a good thing.
Yeah, we would, like, modern day, we're like, oh, they're modernizing. That's a good thing. But you have to remember how much China distrusted the quote-unquote West. And again, the West was just everything that wasn't China.
Yeah. They still do.
So her support of this movement to quote-unquote westernize was viewed with, like, some bombastic side eye. You know what I mean? Like, criminal offensive side eye. Like,
I wish I could give bombastic side eye.
Like, it was, like, suspicious.
Ooh. So, I don't know. Was this all, like, there's a lot of discussion around, was Cixi, like, supporting these reforms and expansions for what we would consider the right reasons, quote-unquote?
Quote-unquote.
Yeah. Meaning, did she actually want to better the life of the Chinese? Or, I mean, still, was she interested in, like, the poor getting educated? Was she interested in, like, defending her people? Or was it to keep herself in power? Mm-hmm. Was it to make herself look good? Therefore, anybody that tried to get a rebellion would be like, oh, nope, she's got her shit. Poop in a group. She's got her poop in a group.
So the answer is maybe both. I think she wanted to make herself look good, and she wanted to defend herself against future rebellions. But I think she also wanted to better the life of her people. I think it's both.
This commonly frustrates me when researching history, is that I feel like there are people that get into these camps or these tribes where they're like, it's either this way or it's that way. And I'm like, why can't it be both?
Why can't it be both?
It can be both. Like, we don't know.
Because, like, she did so much to modernize China, and, like, her haters now, because she hasn't gone down in history as, like, a chill person. And her haters will look back and be like, oh, she only did that for self-preservation. And I'm like, but if it had the same end result, is that a bad thing?
Is it a bad thing? Yeah, no. Yeah. I absolutely know what you mean. Like, no, is it a bad thing?
Yeah.
Anyway, this movement has not gone down in history as a humanitarian issue. It's widely viewed as the Manchus just trying to strengthen their grip on power because they saw that power slipping. But even if intentions weren't great, if it still meant an easier or better life for the people, does it really fucking matter?
Like, wow. Okay, so we do not have time for that existential crisis rabbit hole. Because you know what we got? We got a wedding to throw.
Yay.
The year is 1872. Cixi is 37. Her son is about 16. Their relationship has not gotten any better. She resents him for not taking his role as emperor more seriously, and he resents her for just being a boss bitch.
Being a boss bitch. But regardless, everyone is putting on a happy face for Tang Xi's wedding. And as a part of the wedding contract, it is stated that the regency would be dissolved 1 year after the wedding. So the couple was married, and a year later, it's time for Cixi to retire.
Spoiler alert, it doesn't stick. Yes, so the story goes that Cixi hated the new empress. Not that the new empress, Alut, had done anything.
She's just a mother-in-law. Like, mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law from hell is the way that they paint Cixi in this. Because Alut was like 13. She was an obedient, polite girl. But do you remember how Cixi, those regents in episode one, how she forced three of them to take their own lives?
Yeah.
One of those was Alut's grandfather.
Ooh, an awkward situation. Yes. This is me, like, trying to tap dance out of this awkward situation.
Side shuffle out of here, yeah. But no, so the story goes, which who knows if this is fucking true. The story goes, the reason Cixi hated her so much, and I don't think Alut and Cixi actually had a difficult relationship. I think it's just history painting her bad. Mm-hmm. But they say that somebody was like, oh, you need to try to Alut. They were like, oh, you need to try to appease your mother-in-law more. And she goes, Alut goes, I was crowned empress and I walked through the front door. Cixi was concubine. She came in through the side door. Why should I change my tone? I don't think it happened, but if it did, sick fucking burn.
Oh my gosh. If that happened, no wonder CT was like, I don't like you, girl.
I don't think it happened because she was like 13. She would have been like deferential to her mother-in-law. But if it did happen, girl.
You don't talk about your mother-in-law like that. Don't call your mother-in-law a whore. How about not?
I mean, but...
she was.
Concubine.
Concubine. It's different.
We see sex worker these days, Nathan.
Okay, yeah. Don't call your mother-in-law a sex worker. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the term. Just don't put your mother-in-law in that situation. We hope it didn't happen. So anyway. as agreed, Cici and Cian stepped down the year after the wedding. And we can't really tell where Cici went or if she stayed at court.
Did she retire to a different palace? We're not sure.
She was living in the shade because she's a shady lady. She just never attended the council meetings.
Yeah, well, she was retired. But the thing is, Tongxi sucked at being emperor. Hard. Bad. He sucks.
Babies don't need jobs.
He's like 18 now, so I mean,
but he's still, he had a job as a baby, and he's been spoiled rotten his entire life.
He's so bad at it.
We see this. I feel like we see this. Game of Thrones is another one. Joffrey. He had
a bit of a Joffrey moment. I'm not gonna lie. The country was almost completely bankrupt after the two opium wars, but for whatever reason, Tongxi decided that they needed to rebuild the summer palace.
I get that, because that's the reason his dad died, right? His dad got so distraught.
Got stressed out.
So that makes sense.
Okay. You are giving Tongxi so much grace right now.
I am.
That for you. But that's not what his thinking was. He wasn't like, oh, national pride, let's rebuild this thing that was burnt down. He was like, I want to live somewhere where I can have orgies and my mom doesn't know about it. And so that's why he wanted to. So that's why he wanted to rebuild the summer palace, is because he wanted a sex dungeon, basically.
Okay. Yeah. Sex dungeons are where it's at. So Cici felt compelled to say something, as one would. And so in an unprecedented move, her and Cian went to the court and made an official plea for Tongxi to come home. You know, like, stop spending money that we don't have.
That we don't have anyway.
You're the emperor. Fucking act like it.
Yeah.
That's the gist of the story.
That was a direct quote, actually, I believe.
Oh, it was.
Fucking act like it.
I'm pretty sure a couple of our mothers have said that to their king sons.
Yes. And the emperor was furious. Tongxi was so pissed off that his moms did this. But it kind of doesn't matter because he's dead, like, the next day.
Wait, what?
Yeah. He died really suddenly, very young. The official court statement was that he had smallpox, but a lot of historians think that he may have had, wait for it, syphilis. It's syphilis time on the podcast.
Ring-a-ling. From the king.
From the king. 'Tis the season, though. Even though he almost certainly died of an illness, whether it be smallpox or syphilis, the rumors ran rapid at court that Cici had him killed. Mm. I don't think she liked him, but I don't think she...
No,
she was,
no.
I don't think she had him murdered.
Sure, she had to step out of power after a year, but I still think she had his ear enough to feel like she would not have wanted to kill her own son. Because then if she did that, then where's her place at court? She has none. She has zero. Like, even if she retired from court.
No, you know what? Not so much. We'll get to it, though. Now, so his wife, Alut, she was pregnant. But officially, court documents say that her family wrote to her and said that she should take her own life since her husband was dead, even though she was pregnant. And the way that she should do that is by starving herself.
And she's pregnant?
There are so many ways to take your own life. Why would you ever choose starving yourself? Ooh. Hey, what's the slowest way I could possibly fucking die?
And painful. Like that's
oh
not...
Oh my god. Let's also discuss the difference, like, in our Yolande of Aragon episode that we just did, when the queen was pregnant, when the king died, everybody... put the queen, like, was walking on pins and needles around her just to see. Where this one, it's like, nope.
It's the different
cultural differences are so interesting there.
I feel like it's, they're like, well, you didn't have the baby, so it wasn't meant to be. And it's
and also, as we've seen in this show or in this series, the crown doesn't necessarily always pass from father to son.
No.
Like it's a, yeah.
Yeah. So, oof.
Yeah. So, now, there's a lot of debate. Some people think that, no, Alu didn't starve herself. Cici just cut off food.
I still don't think.
Because what power did Alu have over her?
None. Like,
why would she? There are a lot of times in this show where it's like, somebody died. Cici must have killed him. There's only one where I think it actually happened, which we'll get to at the end.
No, I don't think this is it. She was the emperor. Well, what's her name?
Alute.
I was about to say auto-tune. So, Alute's the empress. Like, even as a dead like, your husband's dead, you still have power. And if you said, bring me an apple, someone would bring you a fucking apple. Someone would feed you. And so we'll never know what
we'll never know. The New York Times at the time wrote about this, which I think is really interesting because they had that closed door policy. But since I found this quote from the New York Times, obviously the West, quote unquote, was looking at them, watching what they were doing. The New York Times reported this as the circumstances roused suspicion.
Oh, so suspicious.
I bet it fucking did. I mean.
That's when the New York Times said, this is suspicious.
This is suspicious.
But there's no heir appointed. Guys.
Gotta pick an heir.
If there's one thing you learn, is like the moment that you become emperor, appoint an heir.
Just even if you change your mind later, just
you can do it. As long as you're alive.
Follow us for more advice on being king. Like, pick a fucking heir. Like,
Katie just had a meltdown.
Well, it'd be one thing if this story was from like the year 900, but it's from the 1800s. This has been going on long enough.
A long time.
Fucking heir.
But the late emperor hadn't appointed an heir, and so guess who it fell on to choose the next heir or emperor? The former regents, Cici and Cian. And Cian had been sipping mimosas in the Bahamas. No, she wasn't. But she was in retirement.
She had no interest. Cian had no interest in coming out of retirement. She was like, I am loving this no job thing. And so she just looked at Cici and was like, you got this, girl. And Cici was like, do you want an opinion? She's like, I don't fucking care. Just pick the next emperor, whatever.
Yeah. Now, Cici could have chosen a grown-ass person. But she wasn't enjoying retirement as much. And if she chose a child, she could mosey her way back in.
She could be regent again.
And she could raise that next emperor to be how she wanted him to be. And do it right this time.
Learn from her mistakes, yeah. Mm-hmm. So she looks at Prince Chun, which remember is the one that killed her maybe lover. And she looks at Prince Chun, who is also her husband's, or her sister's husband. And she's like, y'all have a son, right? He's like 3, right? I think that's our next emperor. Okay, Nathan, why was this so calculated? Why was this a calculated move?
Because to our Western lens, Chun would be excited to have his son be the next emperor, right? Like, most people would be like, oh my god, you chose my son to be king?
Oh my
gosh. Wow, thank you. But let's look at some context here. Mm-hmm. So, Chung and his wife had lost 4 children. Their son, Guangxi, was their only child to survive. So, they doted on him.
Yeah.
They adored him. Because misogyny. Because if you don't have a uterus...
I think they would have doted on any child. Because they had daughters that died. They had sons that died. I think they were just... This was our only child. Because they had... like 5 kids and only one lived. Mm-hmm. So we have no reference. I appreciate you jumping to misogyny because that's usually the answer. But in this one, I'm not sure if misogyny was necessarily the answer.
Okay,
I think it was just like, it was our only kid that survived. In this case, so they doted on this child, they adored him. And so she's taking their only child away from them. So it is a punishment there. And also when an empress adopts a child, like we talked about with like the Roman Empire and shit like that, the biological parents lose all rights to the kid. Mm-hmm. They have no custodial rights. So they can't see them when they want to, and they have no... They're now completely at Cici's will if she treats that child poorly or not.
Ooh.
Right. And remember, Chun killed her best friend / lover.
So.
And now it's like, I'm in control of your son by making him emperor.
Fuck around and find out.
It is not a fuck around and find out situation any parent wants to be in.
No.
So now she... Not. So just from that standpoint of I have control of your child and how the rest of his life is going to go, tells his father, do not fuck with me, you know?
Ooh, so that's number one, to fuck around and find out. Secondly, typically emperor's fathers were dead. The normal way to become an emperor was to be the son of an emperor and your dad ends up dying. There hadn't been an emperor with a living father in over 200 years. And this is a very superstitious culture. So if Zichi said the emperor can't have a living father, she could get Chun executed without any questions asked.
Yeah. So Prince Chun did what I do when placed in a difficult situation, and it was cry.
I just didn't think you liked me. Nobody likes
me. Is everybody mad at me? And so he had a full-on mental breakdown when they were like, your son is going to be Emperor, Empress Cici has picked your son. He just had a full-on mental breakdown. And then after he picked himself up from having the mental breakdown, he turned himself into Cici's most trusted advisor for the rest of her life. So that's how you turn a bitch. And that's how you do revenge, motherfuckers!
Oh my god, Katie is full of gold today.
Okay, let's take a quick break. Let's top off our drinks. And then we'll hear about the rest of her life. What do you think?
Yes!
Have you ever wished that you had a direct line to your pediatrician to ask them all the questions that constantly crop up while parenting? Well, we hear you, and we have been there too. That's why we launched the Bites of Health podcast. Every morning, we'll answer a commonly asked pediatric question in 5 minutes or less. You can tune in while you're making your second cup of coffee or from the school drop-off line. Who are we? I'm Dr. Jess Steyer, a public health scientist and also co-host of the Unbiased Science podcast. Every day, I'll chat with one or both of your new pediatrician besties, Dr. Dina DiMaggio, a general pediatrician, and Dr. Anthony Porto, a pediatric gastroenterologist. We'll talk about all the things related to our kids' health, from dealing with a colicky infant to navigating puberty in the teenage years. So be sure to tune in to Bites of Health, now live on all podcast platforms.
Hey, y'all. Spooky season is here. And if you're looking for a show to whet your appetite for a little haunted history, then I'd like to invite you to check out Southern Gothic, a chart-topping history podcast that explores some of the most infamous legends, folklore, ghost stories, and hauntings of the American South. We've covered all sorts of stuff from the Bell Witch of Tennessee to the disappearance of the Confederate submarine, the H.L. Hunley. Not to mention our deep dives into the local lore of some of America's oldest and most haunted cities, like New Orleans, Charleston, and St. Augustine. So, if you're ready for a little good old-fashioned Halloween storytelling with a commitment to quality historical research, then be sure to check out Southern Gothic today. It's available now on all your favorite podcast apps.
And we're back. So, yes. New baby emperor is moved from his parents' home into the palace. That was in 1875. So, for the next few years, things kind of go back to normal. So, yeah. Cici, Cian running the show. Zichi's dealing with the politics. Cian is retiring and dealing with everything else.
Yeah. They're soft the dream skills. She has the soft skills, yes.
She did. They're the dream team. Like, yeah. Seriously.
until one day in 1881, Empress Cian very suddenly died. Ugh. She was only like 42. She hadn't been sick. They think she probably had a stroke.
Oh.
And she passed away. But what was... Okay, so someone in Cici's life died. What's the rumor, Nathan?
That Cici killed him.
What? Ah. Why would Cici... Cian,
that's her best friend.
I don't want to write this. I want someone else to write a historical fiction novel where Cian and Cici were lovers.
Oh, yes.
But even though I don't think that was true, that was her life partner. Even if it wasn't in a romantic sense, that was her life partner. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Why would she kill her?
Yeah, they were raised together. They were best friends. They entered the concubineship together. Like, it was a whole thing. And
I don't believe she would have wanted to live life without Cian.
Like, but the thing was, is like, it was so sudden that like Cici felt it and it took the wind out of her sails. So yeah. Like, why would she do that? Why would she purposely hurt herself? Literally 2 years of her life, she withdrew from court. There are even stories about how poor little baby emperor having to appear in front of the court on his own at 5 years old, because babies don't need jobs.
Because she couldn't pull herself out of bed. She was depressed.
So she, obviously, she gets painted as this person that's this ruthless killer. And it's like, no, okay, maybe once, but not the whole time.
No, why would she? During this time when she was like in her emo era of like just staying in her room crying, Prince Gong from episode one decided to step up. And Cici was just sort of like, yeah, I don't care. You take control over everything. And Prince Gong, do you remember how he signed like that really shitty deal to end the opium wars?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is that part two. He got China involved in something called the Sino-French War, which we don't have time to really get into. China actually won the war, but when it came to signing the peace treaty, Prince Gong dropped the fucking ball. And China lost all this land and all this money.
This woke Cici the Furk Erp. She's like, okay, depression to the curb. I have a lowlife who doesn't know what the hell he's doing trying to run this country again. Remember, this is not Prince Gong.
He'd already done this before. And she Prince was just Gong. Like, oh, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, get the fuck out of being.
It just makes me wonder, like, in these peace treaties, was there wording that was confusing? I guess there had to have been to him. Like, unless he's in bed with them. Like, that's
I don't think Prince Gong was in bed with them.
Either.
But I think their closed door policy fucked them up so bad that they didn't realize they were, because they didn't keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer.
Yeah.
And if you lived a closed door policy life, you don't know what your enemies are doing. So I think it was just ignorance. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get it. And Cici's like, okay, dude, your ignorance has got to get the fuck out of here.
Bye.
So she demotes him. I mean, he was her friend. She didn't want to humiliate him too much.
She quietly.
His public opinion, his PR reps were already mad about the last opium wars. And then he did it again. So he's public enemy number one. Everybody is like, this guy's got to go.
And so now Cici is once again... the HBIC. Mm. And for people like Nathan that don't know, that means head bitch in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And she is once again officially the regent to a 5-year-old. Sounds very familiar, right?
Babies don't need jobs.
But she's stepping up and she's like, well, but she did that so that she could be back in charge again and get shit done.
So during this time, she builds up China's navy, which at the time was considered the best navy in the East. So no big deal.
And during this time, she also introduced Western medicine, which this is the inoculation period. You know what I mean? This is when people are starting to realize that vaccines are something that can help people against things like smallpox and whatnot.
No, for sure. And it's a huge thing.
Yeah.
Places are starting to get electricity.
Ooh.
There's a railroad.
Ooh.
There's jobs that aren't given to babies in manufacturing. So the wind has caught her sails, and she's all floats on, okay. Okay. So it's time, China, to get you into the 19th century. There was this big ceremony where Cixi, baby emperor, and their whole crew took a train into the Forbidden City. And
a train?
Yes.
Won't that contraption kill us?
And they invited everyone in Beijing, even commoners, to watch them get on said train and make a big ceremony of it in hopes that people would be less nervous about getting on this choo-choo train of death.
Well, that's huge, because people were like, this thing will kill us. And mm-hmm. But at this point in history, just about every other country had been using trains for 100 years.
Yeah.
You know? So it was like, no, y'all can go places. Y'all can see people. Like, no. So come
now
on, China,
I'm free
let's
to
get
see
in formation.
The world.
Yes.
wait. Did I just do like a hover round commercial? Sorry. Let's skip ahead a little bit now. Baby Emperor isn't a baby anymore. Her nephew, Guangxi, is a grown-up, and she has to step down as regent.
Again.
And her And her step down was gradual. And Guangxi was actually kind of reluctant to rule on his own. So she held his hand a little bit. Okay.
She held his hand a lot.
Yes, Trithenia, maybe a little.
No, yeah, he was supposed to like regency. Like he was supposed to take over at something like age 17, but he didn't until like age 19, just because he was like, no, thank you. If you could
please help.
Yeah. So it was a very, you know what though? That kind of almost endears me to him a little bit, recognizing that you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Because how many times in your grown-up life have you wanted to be like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Someone else do it.
Every fucking day.
Right now. There's someone else
right, doing right now. But in 1889, she officially handed over the reins. And she retires, y'all.
I think she wanted to.
She moved out of the Forbidden City and was ready to get some rest.
And she got into some of my favorite hobbies. In retirement, she bred dogs, she painted, and she took music lessons in her retirement.
I see this for you, Katie.
I know.
A house full of dogs while you paint a glorious concoction with music playing in the background.
When, like, at the beginning of her first regency, the Dalai Lama had given her 2 Shih Tzus, and she had become obsessed with the breed. And she said that they were the ideal imperial dog.
Do
you remember Ariel? Do you remember my dog Ariel from
Do you
when
remember
I was a kid?
Gizmo?
They were both Shih Tzus.
Oh,
my God. I think Sabrina, do you remember Shoes? Sabrina's
yes,
dog?
Yes.
Shoes? He was a Shih Tzu. Shih Tzus are the cutest fucking dog. So I see myself in Cixi here. I'm like, I see you. I hear you.
I just
we
want
are
a Shih Tzu.
I just want a Shih Tzu.
Now, she did use the money that wasn't supposed to go to use to build a really fancy retirement home for herself, which a lot of people will point to cite how crooked and evil she was. But, like, grand scheme of things, there are
big
worse
picture.
Things that she could have done. Like, sorry, I want my retirement home to be kind of cool as shit.
point to a single... I mean, point to... Look at... Controversial opinion. Look at King Charles throwing a huge over-the-top coronation while they're in a recession. You know, like, that's not new. People have been doing that since the beginning of time. I don't think that points to her being evil, that she wanted a cush-ass retirement. No.
No. And then people are saying, like, she murdered all these people when... Really, all we know she definitely did was just spend too
one
much
person,
money.
Which we haven't gotten to yet.
Yeah, one person. She just spent too much money on her own retirement home, which, is it cool? No.
No.
But is that... No, that's not wrong. Like,
yeah.
I want to make sure I have a house full of Shih Tzus with violins and paint.
Bitch, same. So, the emperor still really relied on her, though. And so he would come and see her like every other day and ask her advice on stuff. And so though she's legally not in charge anymore, there is still not a single reform that is made that doesn't get Cixi's sign of approval. Like She was once again running things from behind the curtain, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to have to do some skimming because this time
bless it plays
in
mess.
Mess, hot mess express. It's
bless
all.
Bless this mess.
Bless this mess. Lots of wars. I think we even talked about this in our Empress Myeongseong. Like, it's in this same, like, Japan and China mm-hmm. have this war going on. Japan takes control of Taiwan, which was a huge loss for China at the time.
And so while this is happening, Cici, in her retirement home, just trying to hang out with her dogs, her phone is ringing off the hook. Like, her texts are blowing up. And it's just, like, people freaking out, being like, what do we do? What do we do? And the emperor is freaking out, like, what do I do? What do I do? And she is stressed the fuck out, but no one really knows it because she's such an experienced ruler that she's hiding her stress. But meanwhile, Nathan, how's she dealing with that stress, actually?
Ooh,
crying.
Yeah. She's,
like me and Prince Chun, crying all the time.
Steady panic attacks. She's physically ill all of the time. So this is a lot of pressure, and she's ready to retire with her dogs and her paint and her music. I don't know why I got the Texas accent.
Music? And that was like such a specifically Southeast Texan music. It had a whole other vowel in there. But no, she's experienced political clusterfuck, so she knows how to do, she's like code switching. Like, when she's in front of the people, she's, like, acting like, oh, I know how to do this. But as soon as the people aren't around anymore, she's, like, convulsing. Because it's too much stress, and she doesn't want to be doing it anymore.
Ugh.
Yeah. So, in response to this loss of Taiwan, Guangxi was like, okay, we need to make some reforms. We got to do radical reform. And from a modern-day lens, I look at the reforms that he tried to put into place. And we're like, yes. Yes to education. Yes to equality. Yes to whatever. But he wanted to do 100 years worth of reforms in 100 days.
Okay.
It was too fast, too furious.
Yeah. It's not like the 100 years of war. It's like the 100 days of reform. And well, no, thank you.
That's exactly what it's called, the 100 days of reform. But it was too much, you know?
It was too much. So they're like modernizing everything. They're trading with the West. They're bringing Westerners in to tell us how to build infrastructure.
He's like, okay, who has the best Navy? England? England, come here and show us how to do Navy.
Ah, so we're sending our kids to school in France and Germany and Japan. They're adopting a constitutional monarchy. All of this in just 100 days.
And look, I agree with all of the reforms, but I also, it was too much. It was
too much,
fast.
Too quick. Yeah.
And Cici was just like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I think she agreed with all of these reforms too. Because remember, she was trying to modernize China as well. But I think it was just, she was like, ugh, it's too much. Though, one thing, and we'll get to it right towards the end, one of the last things she did before she died, the one thing that she latched onto is he was like, and we're making foot binding illegally. And she was like, no, yeah, bet. Yeah, that one. Yeah, let's make that illegal. Do you know what foot binding is? Don't
yeah,
Google
it's,
it.
It's not great, but I think you can, it's not the proper way of bondage. It is an improper way of bondage that was against the consent of all of the women at the time because it was very painful.
No, like, yeah, great. You were like, when a girl was a baby, they would basically break their feet to make them as small as possible.
Yeah.
So some people will look at that, though, and be like, because that was not, she was of the Manchu group, mm-hmm. and that was from the Han group, which were like the majority, but the lower third majority or whatever. And so people will be like, oh, you were trying to take away their culture. And I'm like, or maybe she just didn't like all these poor babies that didn't consent to it, having their feet broken.
You know? No, anyway. It's not a far stretch there.
Anyway, that was the only thing in all the things that he tried to pass in 100 days. And she was like, let's keep that one. But I think she agreed with all of them, but it was just the speed at which he was going.
Manic in his decision. Mm-hmm. And so now it's time for coup part two.
Part two.
Y'all. The military.
I'll bring the potato salad to the king part two.
Oh my god. So I'm gonna have to compose myself.
If you could, that would be great. We've kind of got this show.
I'm gonna need you to bring the potato salad to the king part two.
King part two.
I can't. Oh my god. So, who's that? The military was still on Cici's side, and everyone knew she was the one with the experience.
The know-how, yeah. And we are having to leave so much out. If you're interested in learning more about this part, please go to the links in our show notes, because I've linked out to a bunch of really great resources, because we are having to do some hard skimming on the 100-day war forums. But what you need to know is that poor baby Guangxi, he had to be taken down. And he was put into house arrest. And now Cici is regent.
Again. And this, by all accounts, seemed to be bloodless.
Bloodless
coup. Bloodless coup part two.
What do you do? Bloodless coup.
Part two.
Part two.
I can't. Guangxi didn't fight it. And he would still sometimes come to court and sit next to Cici. And seems to be very fairly treated while he's in house arrest, but he's not in charge anymore.
No, he's not making any more decisions. And honestly, I get the vibe that Guangxi was like, oh good.
Yeah.
So the year is 1898. Cici is regent for the third time. And like, she gets back to her throne and they're like, here's the curtain. And she's like, I'm not doing that curtain shit anymore.
Yes.
And she is hugely, it was so, she was the first woman. Well, I mean, she's only, the second woman to ever rule, but she's the first time to be like, we're not doing that curtain shit, get it out of here. We're not playing with that pretext anymore. I'm going to rule like a man would. Y'all asked me to come back. I didn't want to come back. Y'all asked me to come back. And so she's like, I am not going to be treated like a second class ruler anymore. I am just going to be up and center. And I love this.
Yeah, she wants a seat at the table. Like
at the head of the table, goddammit.
Yeah, because she's been doing it this entire goddamn time and nobody's been giving her any respect. Sorry. Feminist rage.
Feminist rage!
So the people flames! Like on the side of my face. So people like to point to this coup and say that this is a true sign of how cruel Cici was. But look at the fucking facts. The people were already turning on Guangxi no matter what he was doing.
Right.
Number two, when she was in power, she can make sure he's not publicly executed.
Huh. If she's not in power, the people might do the death by a billion cuts or whatever.
Yeah, and number three, what else is a woman to do?
What else was she supposed to do? So, all right, let's shift gears again, Nathan.
Clank.
Clank, clank. Now we're going to talk about an event called the Boxer Rebellion.
Does this involve dogs that are boxers and they all just get really mad and lick your face off?
I really wish that's what this was about, Nathan. This was about the Dog Boxers Rebellion. It's not. There's a lot of death. It's a bummer. We are, once again, something we're going to skim over because we could do a whole, three hours just on the Boxer Rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
But at the beginning, she was a supporter of the Boxer Rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another thing that people look at in retrospect and go, oh, she was a horrible person because she supported this.
Yeah. It's 1900 and there's this group of peasants who are like, hey, we really fucking hate foreigners and we hate Christians, because there was this growing population of Chinese natives who were turning to Christianity, and this group, they fucking hated that shit.
Yeah. And so this group called themselves the Righteous and Harmonious Fists, which once again does not roll off the tongue. People in this story need to come up with catchier names for their shit, because it just doesn't roll. But anyway, so part of their practice is that they would do fighting exercises. So people in the West named them boxers, and so that's why it's the Boxer Rebellion.
Clever.
And at first Cici was like, fuck yeah, because the boxers' whole thing is we hate the Westerners, and she was like, I also hate the Westerners, this is great, tell them to get the fuck out of China. But then the boxers, that's what we're going to call them just for ease. Then the boxers started murdering everyone who wasn't Chinese or who was Chinese that was a Christian. And that's where the problem started.
Yeah, that's a lot of bad news. And
bad news.
This whole thing is getting messy and no one looks good. The rebellion was very popular with the Chinese people, which doesn't look good because, yes, they had plenty of reason to hate the West, but, like, killing innocent people and children,
They were killing babies, like...
Yeah, not great. The Westerners ended up sending in their troops, and they're killing innocent Chinese people, which...
Just everyone on both ends. It's such a fucking mess.
And Zichi once again has to flee Beijing.
Right. Do you remember in episode one when they burned the Summer Palace and she had to flee Beijing?
Yeah.
So, like, it's giving PTSD. She's like, this shit again, you know? So she has to flee. And she was really scared and helpless. And the more she stayed gone from Beijing, the more pissed off she got at what was happening.
And this goes on for a while. And Zichi lived away from Beijing more or less in hiding for like over a year.
Yeah.
All the while trying to come to some agreement to end this war. The West, as Zichi would call them, to just kind of generally talk about non-Chinese people, they put together something called the Eight Nation Alliance, which is Austria-Hungary, Britain, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Russia, and the United States.
I'm gonna fight them off. An Eight Nation Alliance wouldn't hold me back.
Okay, White Stripes. And they were invading China and knew that they were more powerful than the Chinese when they teamed up like this. And they started giving some serious demands.
Like, unreasonable. Look, I get that China started it, but they were like, if you want peace, hand over all of your military to us. Who would do that?
No one.
Who would do that?
No one.
Who would do that? But at this point, like 100,000 people had died in the Boxer Rebellion.
Holy shit.
And that's Westerners. That's Chinese people. That's like the Boxers killed like a big, like a major player in German politics, this like diplomat dude. And so it was like, it was really getting out of hand. So they had to come to some kind of agreement.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so the Eight Nation allies wanted her to side over control of the Chinese military. And she was like, hard no. But she did agree to pay reparations and allow places like the United States to have a military base in China.
So in 1902, Zichi and crew made a ceremonious re-entry back into Beijing and into the Forbidden City. And there, Zichi ruled unopposed for the rest of her life. So
yeah.
So if she was such a bad, horrible human being, would they really? Anyway,
in 1902, she formally banned foot binding. Though after she died, it came back for a little bit, but then it was formally banned again. But she was the one to be like, no. And people were like, you're taking away our culture. And she's like, well, if your culture is breaking baby girls' feet, fine.
Not great.
Yeah, I'm fine with that thing being banned. Yeah, fuck that.
So, Zichi, unfortunately, had been suffering from bad health for a while.
Like stress we said induced.
Earlier, yeah, she's panic attacks. She's getting physically ill when she thought that no one was looking. And as she aged, that just only got worse and worse and worse.
So, in 1908, she realized that she didn't have a lot of time left. And so, we've talked a lot in this show about, like, when people have died. And people just think Zichi maybe orchestrated it. This is the only one that she definitely did. So she realizes she's on death's door. And she's thinking about Guangxi, the emperor in house arrest. And if she dies while he's still alive, power goes back to him. And she's like, oh, that baby can't do this. Also, Emperor Guangxi had such a sad life, ripped from his mother and father at age 3. To become emperor that he never wanted to be, and then to be poisoned by Zichi. Yeah.
Not great. And just one day before she herself passed away, Guangxi was poisoned while under house arrest. And then on November 15th of 1908, at age 73, which, wow, that's pretty old for that time. Empress Cixi ended up dying at the Forbidden City.
Well, also remember, yeah, age 73, but she started ruling China at 26.
So
that is a long fucking time.
Yeah.
Of course, your life is short, though. Like, I mean, 73 isn't super young,
that's
but it's
long
not,
we, for someone, but still,
for someone that China amount of, for... who's been having like panic attacks, like the way that I've read about like her getting sick all the time and having panic attacks, I think like maybe she had stomach ulcers or something.
Ah,
yeah.
But before she passed, she appointed an emperor because she knew what the hell to do. Because
you gotta appoint an heir.
Yeah. And that would be the last emperor of their dynasty.
That was the last. She was the last empress of China, and he was the last emperor, her heir. So, legacy. Where do we even fucking start?
Yeah. Legacy. She's polarizing, number one. Yes. Like, everybody picks a camp to be in, and it's like, why can't she be both? Like, why can't she do both of those? Like, she's polarizing, yeah. And I get why she's polarizing, but most powerful women are.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So, you know, even though I don't think she was a perfect person, I think she really did try to help her country. Mm-hmm. So for that, let's raise a glass.
Let's raise a glass. Cheers to Cixi.
Cheers, Cixi. Oh, Nathan, this was so much fun. I can't wait to see what the next person, our next queen mother picks.
Y'all have so many good suggestions. I can't,
because I have no idea. I have no idea what's coming next.
I can't wait.
Cheers, bitches.
Cheers.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.